Recapping the weekend in sports.
Ladies and gentlemen, here to announce your FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night starting 5. Is yours truly behind the mic. The other two guys, we don't really care about them, they're just some scrubs. But we got your big three in here, and we got to get into our starting 5. So, at point guard, a basketball purist who always rolls with the times. He may be a bit of an old head, but he's not quite past his prime. He'll turn your ankles to ash and drop a pass as a penny, a nickel, or a dime. I'm talking of the man who's booming without shouting. I'm talking my main man, Corey LeBounty. And it's center. Sports broadcasting is the gig, with the backwards cap always looking slick. And when it comes to Titans coverage, he better be your darn first pick. I'm talking the man who's always got a plan, Dalton Orwig. And a shooting guard, standing in at 5'11" on my short king stand up, weighing in at 157, just barely making the lightweight division cut. The kid with the glasses everyone seems to hate. That is, of course, until I hit this step back 30-footer in your face. You may know me by the name Producer Extraordinaire, but like Jay-Z, allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Ian Blair! Ladies and gentlemen, welcome in to FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night tonight. And as always, if you want to get in on the conversation, you can call us or you can text us your questions, thoughts, comments, concerns, snide remarks, or anything at all at 251-343-0106. Fellas, are we pumped up after that intro
what? Great work, Ian Blair, our PA announcer, bringing us in. Sports Night, FM Talk 106.5, Dalton Orwig, Corey LeBounty, and the man himself, Ian Blair. I think that worked out. I think that worked just according to plan. What do you think, Corey?
I absolutely loved it. You know, I'm a true Chicago Bulls fan. To hear that Ray Clay music, uh-huh, and then to get the great introduction from Ian, it was outstanding.
Dr. Evil's favorite band there, the Alan Parsons Project. And Ian, great job. I think you definitely have sports broadcasting in your future, but if actually being a radio or TV guy doesn't work out, PA. You can learn from the man right over here, Corey LeBounty. I think you've got your future set for you, regardless of what happens. So, love the new intro, and it leads us into a huge show tonight. Of course, you can give us a call or text, 343-0106, but A-Day coverage all the way tonight. So many teams played on Saturday their spring games, and I guess it was a wrap for many of the spring practice, spring training sessions. Coming up in the second segment here, we'll talk with new South Alabama Jaguars head football coach Kane Womack. He'll be on with us here to talk about, well, what they were able to get done Saturday before bad weather rolled in and caused a cancellation of the red and blue game. And then coming up, third segment tonight, we'll talk with Jason Caldwell with Auburn Undercover, their 247sports.com site. And to wrap it up, we'll get the Alabama A-Day take from Gary Harris at WVUA in Tuscaloosa and 100.9 FM. So big show, and it felt a little bit like fall on Saturday, Corey, as we got some football played.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking forward to it. You hate that the rain here along the Gulf Coast kept football fans away from enjoying an entire spring game, and I know Coach Womack will talk about that, but it looked like beautiful weather in Tuscaloosa as well as in Auburn. And you know, you have, along with the FCS championship teams and playoffs being announced this weekend, so again, football all the way through possibly mid-May, Dalton. You have to love that, mm-hmm, atmosphere surrounding college football getting ready to start in August.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And maybe, you know, last year was a much-anticipated college football season. We didn't know if we were going to have games played. And I was certainly looking forward to it, just like I do every year. But specifically last year, because of the dearth of, you know, sports on national TV for the longest time, I think this coming season may be even more anticipated because, especially down here in the Southeast, people are going to be able to get out and go to these games, just like we saw the spring games on Saturday. I know that they already had limited capacity in most of the SEC games this last year, But we were talking, what, 10 to 20, 25% at most? That's kind of what you see up at Jordan-Hare, or what you saw at Jordan-Hare on Saturday. They had just over 25,000 show up. But how about Bryant Denny in Tuscaloosa and the biggest crowd of people at a sporting event in the United States since the global pandemic began? Over 47,000 showed up. And that just goes to show, whether it's the Alabama basketball team returning from their SEC championship win and the party that happened in Tuscaloosa then, or the football team just playing a spring game after winning the national championship, people are fired up in Tuscaloosa.
And rightfully so. I mean, anytime you have an opportunity to honor the 2020 national championship team along with all of the upcoming professionals that we'll see get their names called in next week's NFL draft, a special opportunity to be amongst your family and friends. No tailgating allowed, but just to pay $5. That's a first for Alabama, charging for a spring game at $5 a pop. I think Auburn was at $10 a pop.
Mm.
But it's well worth the price of admission when you have an opportunity to get back to some sense of normalcy.
Is it usually free?
It is free at Alabama. Mm. Auburn has been charging, but Alabama had never charged. That's how in Saban's first year you're able to get 97, 96,000 mm-hmm. plus in Bryant-Denny not charging. And you still see steady numbers. And again, I expected it to probably be close to 65 to 70 had they let capacity in, charging $5
a pop. That's interesting. I wonder what price point. I still think they could have gotten 47,000 in there at 20, 25 bucks.
I agree.
50 bucks? I mean, how high are we talking here? We'll have lots of football talk tonight, but before we get into this next segment, talk with the new South Alabama head coach, let's give a shout out to Stuart Sink, 47 years old. I think he was born in Huntsville. He has definitely lived in Florence, Alabama, and is related to a person that works right here at FM Talk 106.5. Celeste Holland is Stuart Sink's cousin. So we've been following him. I've really been following Stuart Sink for the last, you know, as long as I've known Celeste, so 4, 5, 6 years. And this has been a heck of a year for him. He won a tournament very early on in the season, and that was his first PGA tournament win in over 11 years. And then this weekend, with his son Reagan on the bag, Stuart Sink just absolutely dominated at Hilton Head Island in this RBC Heritage Tournament. I said he's 47 years old. Most of the competitors, and he wasn't just playing scrubs this weekend. Dustin Johnson was out there, Colin Morikawa. A lot of the top golfers in the world played in this tournament. And by the end of the second round, Stuart Sink had set a 36-hole record by 3 strokes over Jack Nicklaus and Phil Mickelson's original tied 36-hole record. By the end of the third round on Saturday, he was at 18-under par, set the 54-hole record, and then played a really casual 1-under par round yesterday, ends up winning the RBC Heritage by 4 strokes, and third time he's won that tournament, right? In his entire career, third time he's won that tournament. The check he pulled from that yesterday, $1.2 million, I read more than his first two winning checks combined for RBC Heritage. So much more money in the sport of golf now, but how about the old guy from Alabama getting it done yesterday in the PGA?
And the biggest thing is, you and I were talking about off the air, Dalton, when you win the right one, it qualifies you for other tournaments, for future earnings that you would not have had. And I think, you know, congratulations definitely are in order.
Mm-hmm, no doubt about that. So lots of football talk tonight. Of course, the South Alabama spring game, only about half of it they were able to get in on Saturday. Lightning showed up during halftime. They tried to wait it out, and there was no waiting for it. So only one touchdown scored during that scrimmage game. But they had a nice scrimmage the week prior where Jake Bentley, the new transfer quarterback, originally who went to South Carolina, transferred across the country and then made his way back down to his home state of Alabama. It's looking like he's the starting quarterback. So we'll talk with new Jags head coach Kane Womack about not only that position, but what the rest of the team looks like as he heads into year one as the Jaguars coach. And then coming up, bottom of the hour, Jason Caldwell with Auburn247sports.com. It's Auburn Undercover. Great info about that team. And then coming up at the end of the hour, we'll get that Alabama talk in with Gary Harris from WVUA in Tuscaloosa. And one more bit of news from earlier. And did you see this, Corey? Alex Smith finally announced his retirement. Quarterback who has been around the league but suffered just an awful, awful leg injury a few years back with Washington, ends up coming back. No one on the Washington football team thought he would play again. and he ends up working his way back into the starting role this year, leads them to an NFC West championship, and finally announced his retirement today.
I love it. He leaves on top, comeback player of the year, and now he can just enjoy his wife and his family, and I'm just glad he was able to continue to achieve his goals.
What a great story. Ended with a comeback player of the year award. More spring football talk coming up. Sports Night, FM Talk 106.5. Five Sports Night, Dalton Orwig and Corey LeBounty with you on this Monday night, and this is really a football sports night special with so many spring games played on Saturday. We'll be talking, of course, South Alabama football tonight, along with the Auburn and Alabama A-Day games. But for the first time ever on Sports Night, new South Alabama head coach Kane Womack joins us, and Coach, we decided. It's a special day today, we heard. So we wanted to play a song for you. Ian, can you roll Happy Birthday for us here? There we go. A little bit of a happy birthday song for Coach Womack. And it kind of marks the first time we've had you here on Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5. So first off, happy birthday, and thanks for making time for us tonight.
Well, that was a great birthday wish right there, fellas. Yeah. I appreciate it. Glad to be on with you.
I'm sure that's all you wanted for your birthday was for us to play that for you tonight.
Coach, made the day.
So much to talk with you about. Of course, you're taking over this program, your first offseason. Your first offseason as head coach with the South Alabama Jaguars. And rolling into the season, which will be here before we know it. Of course, Saturday's scrimmage cut a little short due to the weather here in Mobile. But overall, you got about a half in. How do you feel about what happened on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously that's Mobile for you, right? Mm-hmm. You got to keep a bend in your knees when it comes to adjusting to the weather. When you look at what we got done Saturday, from a more holistic standpoint of where we started from practice one to where we are now after 15 practices and some scrimmages and all those things. And just very excited about our team. This group has a real hunger to better themselves. And I think that first and foremost, right, there's gotta be a hunger in you to losing and not doing well enough and all those things, right, that at some point guys step up and say, you know what, we want to be better than this. And I think that's what I'm seeing from these guys. They have a hunger to win. They are urgent in their ability to just learn what we're doing schematically on both sides of the ball. What's great is when we correct them as coaches, they get it fixed and they can sustain that correction for the remainder of those practices. So I think we've got a smart group. I think we've got a hungry group, and really just pleased with all the things that we got accomplished.
Coach, one of the things I know you're looking forward to is an outstanding football schedule. I mean, you come back onto campus, no stranger, but you were at Ladd Stadium when you were the assistant coach. Now, Saturday, September 4th, the Southern Miss Golden Eagles come into Hancock-Whitney Stadium. I know you kind of change your attention now to focusing on that first game and, you know, your game plan in the offseason as well, but tell us what it's going to feel like running out there as the head football coach playing the Southern Miss Golden Eagles and hopefully a full capacity Hancock-Whitney Stadium.
Yeah, I think, excitingly, I think we're well on our way to accomplishing that. You know, we were so limited in 2020 that this is really going to be the grand opening of Hancock-Whitney Stadium. It's never seen a max capacity stadium and an opportunity for our fans to walk out there and really create an environment that we can all be excited about, players, coaches, fans alike, that we have a campus a stadium on campus that is ours, that we can create new traditions and an environment that's exciting for our players to play in and intimidating for our opponents.
It'll be so exciting seeing a full stadium for the first time, even though it's been open for as long as it has. Coach Womack, I know your specialty is technically on the defensive side of the ball, as you were a defensive coordinator for South and then Indiana before coming back to the university. But I want to start with the offensive side of the ball and where we stand right now at quarterback. Is there still a quote-unquote position battle for that, or did the veteran Jake Bentley transfer back to his home state of Alabama to play for the Jags? Does he hold that position in his hands right now? Where do we stand with that battle?
No, I think you know, Jake he's really done a tremendous job of coming in. You know, he's played so much football. He's seen so much football. And there's just not a lot of things that surprise him. I think he's done a great job of coming in with an urgency to learn our system and what we do, but he's also done a tremendous job of connecting to his teammates. It's easy for, you know, the SEC quarterback to walk in the door and think, well, I'm just going to, you know, earn a job or you know, these guys will they'll fit to how I do things as a quarterback. And that's not the way Jake goes about his business. And I think his teammates have really respected him for that. And he does a tremendous job on the field. And so we'll make some decisions here pretty soon. I'm not going to, you know, I feel like we know where we're headed. And so we'll make some decisions here within probably the next week. But just very pleased with Jake Bentley's progress to this point.
Coach, also coming into South Alabama, again, it's a program that you are familiar with, and you knew the tradition that stood there with Anthony Mostella's number 5 jersey. I thought that, you know, coming back and honoring a young man who gave it all to the program, who lost his life to a motorcycle accident, and giving one of your players, A.J. DeShazor, an opportunity to wear that number 5, it bring some type of pride back to that number and that program, and we'll never let Anthony Mostella be forgotten as well.
Yeah, I really appreciate you saying that, man. And you know, I've sat in that locker room before when we presented that number 5 jersey to players on the team. And so, you know, Joey Jones, I thought, did a tremendous job of just staying connected to the alumni and the program. Obviously, he started this program. But he also knew the importance of the players that had come before, leaving a legacy for those to carry on. And so I'm excited to bring back that tradition. You know, we're such a young program. We don't have a lot of traditions. And so the ones that we have, we need to hold on to. And so I'm excited to bring that back. We're actually going to carry that number 5 jersey in a little bit different format than what we did in the past. We're going to have a new person represent Anthony Mostella each week with the number 5 jersey. So obviously A.J. DeShazor will be the first one to walk out in the 2021 season on September 4th against Southern Miss. You know, here's A.J., a guy that I was able to recruit when I was here before. You know, he was a guy that had multiple Power 5 offers coming out of high school. You know, a couple things went one way or another, and you know, he could have looked at that and said, well, I had a chance to go to some Power 5 schools and I ended up at a Group of 5 program. But he's had nothing but a tremendous attitude. It's awesome to see the way he has grown. He is a truly gifted football player, both from a fundamental and physical standpoint, but also schematically. He's very smart, and just become a leader on this team. So I couldn't think of a better guy that I would want to really reinstate the tradition.
We're talking with new South Alabama Jaguars head football coach Kane Womack. And, Coach, just a couple minutes left here. I want to know, you know, you mentioned it earlier, there's been a few tough years here for the Jags in football. You're coming in, this is your first season as head coach. What would you say the overarching goal is for this first season as we head into the fall?
You know, I'll say this. I mean, I think this is a program that should be a bowl program every single year. Now, can we get to there in the first year? I don't know. I like where we are. I like our team. I think we're doing some great things, but I think this should be a program that we're at a bowl game every single year, and we're within arm's reach of conference championships year in and year out. And so that should be the expectation of this program. That should be the expectation in our building and for our fan base as well. And so I don't think we should shy away from those things. In fact, I think there should be an urgency for everyone in our program to move the dial forward. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to come out and go to a college football playoff in year one, or, you know, but, yeah. But at the same time, there needs to be an urgency to better this team. And I think that's what I'm seeing from our players and coaches alike right now.
Well, we are very excited to see the debut season. Coach Kane Womack joining us on Sports Night. Coach, thank you so much, and hopefully we'll talk again here soon.
Well, thanks, guys. I appreciate being on, and go Jags.
All right, go Jags. That's the new head coach for the South Alabama Jaguars. Season opens at Hancock-Whitney Stadium Saturday, September 4th against Southern Miss. Got a non-conference game against Tennessee there at the end of the year, too. That should be fun. More Sports Night on the way. FM Talk 106.5. We'll talk with Jason Caldwell about Auburn's A-Day game on Saturday. Welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night. Dalton Orwick, Corey LeBounty, Ian Blair with you on this football talk Monday night. Had spring games on Saturday. Can you believe, and I know you can because you're an Alabama fan, even though you love all the SEC, Corey, but the way they decided to roll out these spring games on Saturday, ESPN, who holds the rights to all of the SEC games, they go Alabama on the main channel. Everyone else had a game streaming, even the Auburn Tigers. So they give Alabama, ESPN, Uno, the ESPN, and relegate everyone else to streaming. I don't know what that says about Alabama and their hierarchy place in the SEC channel's hierarchy, but there you have it.
It was done, and I enjoyed watching it. I mean, I got an opportunity to see highlights, and I know our next guest, Jason Caldwell, was there in the flesh, and he does an outstanding job, Dalton.
Yes, he does. So I think over, 25,000 showed up for the Auburn spring game at Jordan-Hare Stadium on Saturday. Unlike here in Mobile, I think the weather played well for him on Saturday. Jason, thanks for coming on with us on Sports Night.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. Yeah, it was a nice day. I thought we were going to have some rain early on, but it cleared up and had a good day. And we're right about 25,000 or so. So, you know, several sections of the stadium, too, were off limits where this is the time of year they redo the stadium, repaint some areas underneath bleachers, things like that. So, overall, I thought it was a really good day to see the fans back in the stands.
So they were, last season, they were allowing fans in, right? But was it that high of a capacity for Auburn games?
It was about the same thing, yeah. It was about the same number that they had in the stands. But it was more students. And, you know, the students, they kind of packed in and did their own thing. But they were spread out all throughout the stadium. This time they were a little bit more compact in some areas. Few people in the upper deck, but not a whole lot. So it was probably a very similar crowd. Looked a little fuller because most of them were down low.
We're talking with Jason Caldwell with Inside the Auburn Tigers at autigers.com and also Auburn Undercover, the 24/7 Sports Network. So, Jason, I know the theme of Saturday, I'm sure, was most people getting their first look at the Tigers under new head coach Brian Harsin. How different did the offense look Saturday from what we're so used to seeing with Gus Malzahn in the lead?
Yeah, I think the biggest, there was a couple of things that probably stood out. The first one was they actually got under center and took a few snaps. And, you know, when people heard that to begin with, I think they kind of had this thought of going back to 2012. And I was like, no, it's not going to be back to fullback and under center 95% of the time. That's not what they're going to do. But they're going to give themselves the ability to you know, play some lead football at times and get downhill with Tank Bigsby. And well, Sean Shivers did a good job in that role as well on Saturday. But that was probably the first thing. And then there was a tight end on the large majority of snaps on the field and multiple tight ends on the set. So early on, first the pass went to a tight end. I think you'll see those guys more involved as they kind of open up the offense. And sometimes opening up the offense doesn't necessarily mean – spreading the field and going up tempo. Sometimes it means doing more things, and I think they're going to be a lot more multiple right now under Mike Bobo.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things Auburn fans want to see is better production and better decision-making by Bo Nix, and I think that's one of the things that Coach Harsin has stressed to Bo. Look, take your checkdowns, take what's there. But offensively, you have one of the best running backs coming back in Tank Bigsby. When he's healthy, he's shown that he's definitely a guy that can be first-team All-SEC material. But not only that, I mean, I'm excited about the defensive side of the football for the Auburn Tigers. I know a lot of people talk about the offense and the transition, but locally, Lee Hunter on the defensive line made a couple of stops, but Roger McCreary Jr. from Williamson High School is going to be a tremendous leader for that Auburn defense. But defensive coordinator Derek Mason, I think, is a perfect fit for that school.
Yeah, I thought it was a great hire. You know, people talk about, you know, hires around the country. I thought that was just a home run hire you could get, you know, bringing in a guy like Derek Mason. His you know, background, his history, the DB side of things right now, I mean, obviously you got to create pressure. And you always have to stop the run and play strong up front on defense. But if you can't cover guys on the back end right now, you have no chance in college football. I mean, you just can't do it. And I thought, you know, coming in, maybe the most underrated move of the whole spring was moving another pretty close product there, Nehemiah Pritchett from Jackson, Alabama, moving him to nickel. Gives you another cover guy on the field to go along with Roger McCreary and Jalen Simpson outside, getting a guy like Dershawn Miller coming in from West Virginia, and you know, once the summer starts, and then, you know, had Kamal Haddon, a junior college transfer. They got a lot of cover guys now on this defense, and, you know, Ladarius Tennyson spoke Monday at safety. There's some players on this defense, and if you can get a guy like Derek Hall, Jaron Handy, some of those guys to create that pressure off the edge in a pass rush, then I think you're looking at a defense that has a chance to, you know, who knows about the numbers, but I think they got a chance to create more negative plays. And right now, when you look at defense, trying to get three and outs, creating negative plays, creating turnovers, that's the name of the game, because you're not going to stop offenses nowadays.
We're talking with Jason Caldwell. You can follow him on Twitter at ITAT. Jason, that's inside the Auburn Tigers, Jason. Let's keep talking about that defense. And really, I guess probably the biggest name you lose from the Auburn Tigers defense is KJ Britt, who decides it's time to try his luck out with the NFL draft process. You lose Big Cat Bryant. He ends up transferring out. Do you see an improvement with this defense from this year? I mean, the way you laid out some of those secondary names, it sounds like they have a chance to actually improve on last year.
Yeah, I think you look at it and it's give and take. Sometimes I thought they did a good job of you know, especially against the big time teams. The issue for me was always, what do you do, you know, when teams try to match you up against that nickel? And I mentioned that move inside Nehemiah Pritchett. For me, I think the biggest thing is going to be pass defense, and you know, against, you know, Alabama last year, Florida, with that matchup, they did some things in the middle of the field, and so I think you look at it, to me, how much more and how much better they can get at not allowing those big plays in the passing game. I mean, if you can improve that, then I think the defense has a chance to get better.
You know, as far as replacing Gus Malzahn as the head coach, I think obviously if there was any coach in the entire nation to have to follow, Nick Saban would be the most difficult. Whoever gets that role is destined to fail. But it's not exactly easy stepping in for Gus Malzahn. As long as he was on the hot seat and they finally end up deciding to get rid of him, putting together 8-4 seasons year after year, that's tough for a new coach to come in and, you know, one up that at the very least. What do you think the baseline is for Auburn fans with Brian Harsin coming in? What do they expect?
Yeah, I think people see and understand the difficulty of playing this schedule, and you know that, you know, you got to you know, some things that you got to shore up and fix up. But I think when you start talking about you know, what they want to see, I think they want to see, you know, like I said, more diversity, more of those things that you can do on both sides of the ball. So I think that's the starting point. But, you know, record-wise, I mean, you go to Penn State early on. Obviously, you got, you know, Alabama, Georgia at LSU. It's going to be another difficult challenge, as it always is in the Southeastern Conference. So I think for this first year, go out there and see guys that compete, see an offense that improves. And, you, of course, you mentioned earlier about Bo. I think one of the other things that kind of gets lost in this is they're letting, you know, Bo Nix get to the line of scrimmage and do some things. They're letting him, you know, create some, you know, some plays on his own when he sees, you know, some things that he feels like maybe they're in the wrong set here or there. And I think giving him, more options in the passing game too. You know, you mentioned checkdowns. That was almost non-existent as an option in Gus Malzahn's offense. It was basically, hey, we're calling the play, here it goes. And now I think you're in a system that's more quarterback friendly, and I think because of that, it gives him the opportunity to really open things up. And if you do that, then I think you look at an offense that has a chance to really get better.
Were there any other players, whether it was a true freshman on campus or whether it was a senior leadership like Smoke Monday, was there anybody else that really stood out to you during this entire spring session?
Yeah, I think you mentioned Tank Bigsby earlier. Just the work he puts in and day out, how physical he is. As a sophomore, you can see that guy kind of take things to the next level. But, you know, maybe the biggest surprise out of the whole bunch was Tyler Fromm. I think Tyler Fromm, the work he did at tight end, coming out of nowhere, and people think they hear the name Fromm. Yes, that is Jake Fromm's younger brother.
Hmm.
But Tyler's a guy that, you know, went from not playing in 2 years to being, you know, a first team tight end in the spring. And, you know, it's Tyler Fromm. They got another brother that's a quarterback. I would guess that Tyler has probably caught more passes than any tight end his age in the country.
Wow.
Having two brothers that are quarterbacks. So because of that, he's got the hands. Now he's added that physical side of things. So he might be the biggest surprise for folks, just kind of a casual fan of Auburn football. They might have heard the name, but mm-hmm. they hadn't seen Tyler Fromm play, and I think he'll have a chance in the fall.
That's interesting. That completely escaped me that he was on the roster. So some really good information there. Jason, it'll be an interesting off season and football season for the Auburn Tigers as they begin the Brian Harsin era. Thank you for joining us on Sports Night tonight, and looking forward to talking again.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
That's Jason Caldwell. He's with Inside the Auburn Tigers on AUTigers.com and Auburn Undercover, the 24/7 Sports Network. You can follow him, ITAT Jason, on Twitter. Coming back, we'll talk Alabama's A-Day game right here on FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night. Welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night. Dalton Orwig, Corey Labounty, Ian Blair with you as we wrap up this Monday night edition of the show, and it's a spring football edition. I want to thank new South Alabama head coach Kane Womack for joining us earlier to talk about the Jags' half-spring game. Also, Jason Caldwell with 24/7 Sports to talk Auburn. But now it's time to talk about the other big university in the state that rarely, really rarely wins anything in any sport, the Alabama Crimson Tide. And actually, I'm lying. They won something else again this last Saturday. Over 47,000 fans showed up for A-Day in T-Town. Biggest crowd for a U.S. sporting event since the pandemic began. And, of course, it goes down in Tuscaloosa at Bryant-Denny Stadium. So on to talk with us about Alabama's spring and how A-Day went on Saturday, Gary Harris with WVUA 23 in Tuscaloosa. Also has a weekday show with Tide 100.9 FM. Gary, thank you so much for coming on Sports Night with us tonight.
Well, it's a pleasure. I got to share something with you guys. When you guys just called a couple of moments ago to get me on the air, we broke into a conversation. I thought I was on the air.
Oh!
Telling Nick Saban stories. And yeah. Then I heard the jingle, and I'm like, well, I'm not even on the air yet. But, I was just talking away, and the next thing I know, I hear the intro, and I'm like, we haven't even been on the air. I've been telling stories for 2 or 3 minutes here.
Yeah, Gary, and I apologize. For people that haven't done broadcasting before, that is almost like if you're just talking on the phone with someone else and you lose your connection and you've been talking for like 3 minutes before you realize that no one's on the other end of the line. Of course, we were here. We were listening to your Nick Saban story, but that was to an audience of two. So I apologize for not letting you know more about that. But let's talk about what happened on Saturday. And tonight, I've kind of been going through the main theme for every university's spring.
Mm-hmm.
For South Alabama, it's new head coach Kane Womack. For Auburn, of course, it's new head coach Brian Harsin, but really the future of Bo Nix. For Alabama, turnover is the thing every year. But for me, it's quarterback Bryce Young and how this offense will look with him in control. And we got our first really good look at it on Saturday.
Yeah, we did. And, again, a condensed look, obviously, from what we'll see in the fall. But, yeah, every conversation from this past weekend is going to start with Bryce Young. I mean, he's the expected starting quarterback. I'd be shocked, in fact, if he's not, barring injury, the starter in September when they take on Miami in that season-opening football game. And I thought he came through with flying colors, and not just because he had good numbers. He did have good numbers, 25-44 for 333 yards, a touchdown. No picks, and, you know, looked like he was in control, quick release, knew where he wanted to go with the football, threw it on time, made some throws into tight windows, into coverage, and just looked the part to me, and I'm impressed with him. You know, in terms of quarterbacks, he's short in stature. I mean, he's a 5'10", 5'11", type of quarterback, and but I think back to what Doug Flutie said one time when they were always, you know, bugging him about his height, and he said, you know what, I've been this height my entire life. You know, if I'd been 6'4", and then you made me 5'9", maybe it would have been a disadvantage. But this is the only height I know how to play at. And his point was, you know, it's just who he is. And I think with Bryce Young, you know, you watch him, and he's up against 6'4", 6'5", 6'6", defensive linemen, and he's finding the windows to throw the football. Now, he got a couple knocked down, but every quarterback has that happen. But he understands how to play the position. He knows when to get rid of the ball. And for me, playing quarterback in the modern offenses, the most important thing is, can you deliver the ball on time, deliver it accurately, and deliver it with you know, enough velocity to get it there so that when the receiver makes his break, the ball's there when he's open, and it's not late or it's not too early. And I think he did all those things on Saturday.
Gary, I want to ask you, we have about 3 minutes left with you in this segment. I want to ask you during this segment about Jalen Armour-Davis coming up from a defensive standpoint. Deontay Lawson, a true freshman from Mobile, Alabama, stepping on the field in the spring, as well as DeMoy Kennedy now getting some experience for this Alabama defense.
Well, let's start with Jalen Armour-Davis because he is another example of how sometimes patience, well, more times than not, if you're at Alabama, patience will pay off for you if you have talent and ability. He has talent and ability. We knew that when he came out of high school there in Mobile, and he's just had to wait his turn. But in the meantime, even though you're not playing, you're practicing against the best players in the country. You're getting bigger, stronger, faster. You're gaining maturity. Of course, we know he's a very mature young man. And now it's his time. And, you know, I think he's going to be the starting quarterback there opposite Josh Jobe. And it's not because he's been around here for 4 years. It's because he's earned it. And I was really impressed with him Saturday. I mean, he obviously understands the defense. He's been in it for several years. I think he's worked on his athleticism. Not that he wasn't athletic, but I think he's gotten stronger, faster, quicker, you know, able to get out of those breaks when those receivers, you know, cut on a dime the way they do. And I'm really impressed with him and happy for him. I love it when guys are patient. And I look back, Ryan Anderson, another kid from your area, same type of deal. You know, he was here for 4 or 5 years, and finally it clicked for him. And now he's been in the National Football League for several years. So some of these guys, they come in and play right away. Some of them don't. But in Jalen Armour-Davis's case, this time last year, we were hearing that he was going to be a transfer portal guy. You know, he was a guy that wasn't going to stick around. Well, you know what? He stuck around, and now it's paying off for him. Corey, who else did you ask me about?
Deontay Lawson
Kennedy.
And DeMoy
Lawson
Kennedy.
And Kennedy.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah, well, heck, man, if you were watching the game, you couldn't help but see 32 and 37.
Hmm, right.
I mean, my gosh, man, on that white defense, they were all over the place. And, you know, Lawson, you know, I got to see him a little bit in high school. And you guys saw him a lot. Knew he was a tremendous athlete, but you always wonder how that's going to transfer to the next level. And, you know, he came out there on the field Saturday, and I thought he was dominant. I mean, he almost had a pick six off of Bryce Young. I know he'll kick himself over that one for a while. And Kennedy's another example of a guy who has gotten bigger and stronger since he got here. And, you know, I know C.J. Mosley's a popular name down there, but both those guys have that C.J. Mosley-type athleticism.
Mm.
You know, they can really run. They can make plays. They're big enough and physical enough to play against the run, but they can, you know, they can cover in space too. I think both of those guys are headed to superstardom. I really do.
We're talking with Gary Harris with WVUA 23 out of Tuscaloosa, also a weekday show on Tide 100.9, about Alabama's A-Day game. And, Gary, just a couple minutes left here. Wish we had an hour. So many questions, but my big question right now, how has new offensive coordinator Bill O'Brien transitioned into that new role as Steve Sarkisian leaves the university? This has happened year after year. Does it look like it's been a smooth transition so far?
Perfect from what I can see. You know, and we're limited. You know, we're still under COVID rules, so I haven't been to a single practice since gosh, you know, I guess since we didn't have spring practice last year and we didn't get to go to any fall practices, I guess it would have been 2019 since I've been to a practice. But from everything I've been able to see, talking with people, watching the video clips, it's been flawless. I mean, you're talking about a guy in Bill O'Brien. It's, you know, he's excelled at the highest level. I mean, as New England Patriots offensive coordinator, people forget what he took over at Penn State. I mean, he took over a dumpster fire and had two really good years there. And people want to look at the Houston Texans and they want to say that was a disaster. You're going to tell me four division titles was a disaster? You're going to tell me a winning record over 5 or 6 years in the National Football League is a disaster? What happened was once he started dealing with personnel, that complicates things. It's hard to coach guys and then deal with them on contracts, too. It puts you in a tough spot. But he's an excellent football coach. I think he's a brilliant offensive mind. It's Alabama's offense. Now, there's going to be some subtle differences. I don't think you're going to see as much in terms of the jet sweeps, in terms of all the motion that Sark did, but you're going to see that quick passing game. You're going to see them, you know, have a lot of combination routes. Guys are going to be running open, I think, on every play. I think Bill Bryan's a terrific football coach and is going to be a great fit here for Nick Saban.
That is so interesting. And just a minute left, I have to ask you this question. There's going to be a lot of Bama players drafted at the end of this month. Who goes first, Mac Jones, Devonta Smith, or Jalen Waddle?
Well, I'm going to stay with what I've said all along. I could be wrong. I know there's a lot of momentum for Justin Fields, even Trey Lance. I'm saying Mac Jones is going third to the 49ers. I think that's why they made that move. I think they moved up to get Mac Jones. I think Kyle Shanahan wants to coach him. I think he feels like he's got some Matt Ryan qualities and Tom Brady qualities. And I'm not saying he's going to be as good as those guys. Obviously, nobody might ever be as good as Brady, but I think they feel like he's got those intangibles along with a good understanding of how to play the game of football. So I'm going to stick with Mac Jones at 3 to the 49ers.
That's some good stuff. Well, Gary, a ton of information in a short amount of time. Thank you so much for joining us on Sports Night, and folks can follow you on Twitter. Is it at @GaryHarris_WVUA?
You got it.
All right.
Thank you so much, Gary. I appreciate you.
Enjoyed it, man. Thank you, guys.
All right, that wraps it up. Sports Night, FM Talk 106.5. Lots of football talking tonight. It was a good one. Coming up, Sweet Home Canabama with host Jennifer Boozer. We'll see you next week. Madness, the magnet keeps attracting me.